Our scripture lesson comes to us from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, and I'll be reading just verses 1 through 11, and I invite you to follow along. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Peter heals the crippled beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit and beg at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. May God add blessing and understanding to both the reading and hearing of his word. Well, it didn't take long for the disciples to begin to understand that something had changed following Pentecost. While they were with Jesus for the 3 years of his earthly ministry, they saw him, they engaged with him, but there was something that was different now, that Jesus had ascended to heaven. Of course, we remember that he gave them the Great Commission in Matthew's gospel. At the end of that gospel, chapter 28, we know that he told them to go out into all the world and to preach the good news and to teach and to baptize in the name of Jesus. And while they were dependent upon the Lord and while they were loyal to the Lord, it seems, as you will recall, many times they didn't seem to get it. They didn't seem to understand why Jesus was there and what was going to happen. Could it be because they lacked faith? And it was at this time that the Holy Spirit came into their beings, that Holy Spirit took up residence within their hearts and gave them then this gift of faith. It could be said that these disciples were not yet born again, if we can use that language. They were not yet born again. They had not yet fully realized salvation and all that it meant to them as they continued on to minister in Jesus' name. It wasn't until the fact that the Holy Spirit came that they realized there was a conversion that took place in their hearts, their lives, and their minds. But that's not all. They also had this new capacity to realize the things that Jesus did for them. But they also realized then that Jesus could do things through them. And so then by this gift of faith, they began to do what Jesus commissioned them to do. And that is to go out and to preach the good news, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And through that power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, they were able to enact miracles in that name. So in Acts chapter 3, just the beginning here this morning, in these first 11 verses, we have an account of a miracle that took place. A miracle that was happening here. And it really combines the gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the gift of miracles. And those latter two are really connected to faith, because I believe without faith, you're not going to be able to have the ability to act in healing, or to be able to perform miracles, unless you have faith in God that it can happen, right? So when we pray, We must pray at the understanding that we're strong in our faith and that with God all things are possible. And so, I want to remind you that this power that flows, that flowed through the disciples is the same power that flows through us. And we remember the song, perhaps, that the praise team sings once in a while. I think we sang it just a couple of weeks ago. It's a Jeremy Camp song. And it says that the same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks lives in us, lives in us. And the same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us, lives in us. We must remember that we have that power through Jesus Christ, not of our own doing, but because of what Christ can do through us. And so the disciples were reminded again, no doubt, of their commission in Matthew 28. They were reminded of that commission to go out into the world. But they were also realizing that they had now another gift, and that gift was to do miracles in the authority of Jesus Christ. These miracles would be things like healing the sick. They would be things like raising people from the dead. There are several accounts of this happening within Scripture. And that they would be able to cast out demons and those that were possessed. So all of these things were happening. And as a result of them, people were drawn to Jesus Christ because of what was happening, because of what they were seeing, because of what they were hearing. And so, as a result of this, Peter would go on to explain to them in another sermon to those that were gathered there at the temple. But you're not going to hear about that today. You have to come back next week or read ahead in chapter 3, beginning at verse 12 and continuing on. Before our purposes today, we'll begin in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And we find here that Peter and John are on their way to the temple. Why are they on their way to the temple? It says they were going there to pray. We know that devout Jews went to the temple to pray not once, not twice, but three times a day. They went in the morning about 9 o'clock. They went in the afternoon at noon, and then again at sunset. Three times a day they were going there to pray. And so we know that Peter and John were going there because they were still practicing that Jewish faith. They were part of that, but yet they also began to realize that something was changing in them and that there would be more to their mission than just prayer. And while we're on the subject and topic of prayer, I wanted just to note here that while it was important and it's an important part of the Jewish tradition and their faith that they pray three times a day, I'm reminded, and you are as well in the New Testament, of many occasions where it tells us to pray always. We look at the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we see chapter 5, verse 17, which tells us, pray without ceasing. So we're always praying. We're always in an attitude of prayer. From sun up to sundown, we pray. So while it's good to pray multiple times a day, just kind of have that attitude as you continue on. And so while they were there at the temple doing their religious duty, as it were, there was also a man that was carried there. And this was a beggar, a lame man. And he was carried there by people that no doubt probably took him there every day. People that were responsible for him, that took some pity on him so that he could get to the temple. But why was he getting there to the temple? Well, he got there to the temple because it was his job to beg. That's what he did. He begged for money. Because he had no access to health care. He had nobody that really looked after him, except those that might have carried him there, all the income that he had was what he got from the almsgivers that were going into the temple to worship there. You know that there are people that, as they gather to beg, they usually gather in high traffic areas, right? I know from travels around the world, as perhaps you do as well, when I was in Haiti, I remember little kids running up to us constantly, give me dollar, give me dollar, give me dollar. That was the English that they knew. Give me dollar, give me dollar. Fast forward many years later in Nicaragua, and there were literally children running in a highway, 50, 60 mile an hour highway, banging on doors and windows when they would stop. Give me dollar, give me dollar. Because there was value in the American dollar. And so they saw that and they wanted that. Perhaps you have seen in Edwardsville or the Glen Carbon area when you've been there shopping, there's a family that is often there gathered, and they're gathered in a high traffic area where there's a lot of shopping and food that is around. You see them there, sometimes a mom and some children, sometimes a dad by himself, and other times all of them together. Seen this there many, many times. And so they gathered at this gate called Beautiful. You may ask, why was it called Beautiful? Well, it was beautiful. It was the gate called Beautiful. And it was a favored entrance into the temple, and it was the favored entrance of the people. And it got me to thinking, you know, what's the favored entrance at the First Baptist Church? And what would we call it? Anybody have any suggestions or ideas? I know that through the week, the main entrance is on Spruce Street. And on Sunday morning, it's probably through the doors over here. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but you know that there is a cross and Bible on either door as you enter into the sanctuary. If you've never noticed that before, check that out. So anyway, it was an important note that they were gathered there for a couple of reasons. It was a significant gate. Lots of people entered in there. But it was also significant because of what it was made, and no doubt why it was called Beautiful. Most assuredly, it was a gate that was made of fine metals, perhaps bronze, silver, or gold. Fast forward to the comments that will be made. I think that Peter and John had some plans here. They had set out to go to the temple, and their minds were set that they were going there to pray. That's what they were doing. They were religious people. They were there to do what God had called them to do and to fulfill their duty to pray a second time that day. They could have easily brushed off this beggar, but they didn't. They could easily have passed by, but they didn't. Many years ago, someone told me that ministry happens in the interruptions. That's when ministry happens, in the interruptions. We're prepared for something, we're thinking that this is what's going to happen today, and then something occurs, an interruption, and an opportunity for ministry is presented. So what is the lesson that we can learn there as Christ followers today? That we should be very careful, that we don't get preoccupied with doing busy work, that we don't get preoccupied with doing those things which might distract us or detract us from doing God's will, which is often right before our very eyes. Now, usually when someone is begging, there's a disability. There's something that is wrong with them physically, maybe even mentally, and certainly spiritually. And these beggars were unable to work. Again, we see people like this all around in our country. But when people are taking care of them, they are not to do so for profit. They're not to benefit from helping someone or to get something in return. They're to do it out of the love of God. And it's talked about in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 35 through 37, that you're not to benefit from helping someone who has need. This man, this lame beggar, was begging because it was the only means of support that he had. Now today there are people, and I no doubt there were in biblical times as well, people who did it just to get extra money, and they didn't really have a significant need. That's what makes it difficult for us today to help people. It's like the story in Scripture of the Samaritan. Now, if you fast forward to think about where this puts us, this story could really be us, for we are crippled in our sins, and because of what Christ did upon the cross, He did something in the face of that hopelessness that gives us the opportunity to live, to walk as never before. Looking now at chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, as a young child, did you ever have someone look at you right square in the eyes and say, "Look at me"? Or perhaps it was said like this: "Look at me when I'm talking to you, young man. Look at me when I'm talking to you, young woman." This is what Peter and John said to the blind beggar, or to the lame beggar, rather. They said to him, "Look at me." Now, he was calling out to them already. He had their attention. He had their attention there. They fixed their eyes on him. They stopped. They looked. They listened to what this man had to say. And what a contrast it was, this pitiful beggar sitting hopelessly outside the gate called Beautiful. But why did they have to get the beggar's attention? Why did they say, "Look at me"? Why did they have to do that? Well, the obvious response is, if you've ever noticed beggars in a large crowd, they work the crowd. They might have your attention, and they already had Peter and John there. They were a captive audience, but they had to reach out to the other people who were still there and going out to asking them, here, shaking their cup. Here, I need money. Help me. And so that was happening there. But Peter and John cared about them. They gave the lame beggar, his attention. But they didn't give him what he wanted. Silver or gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Remember that song from Vacation Bible School or Sunday School? I'm not going to sing it for you. I'll spare you this morning of that. But notice that it wasn't in Peter's authority. Even though the disciples had been given this gift of faith, even though the disciples had this ability and this newfound ability, they knew that within themselves it didn't happen. But because of Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And in the Jewish mindset, and I think to a certain extent still in our culture today, a name means something. A name should mean something. When someone says that they're from the Jones family or the Smith family, people will say, oh yeah, good people. Right, Connie? Smith family. Good people. Known them for years. They give you your word, their word. You know it's going to happen. And so, this is what is happening here. Jesus, through his disciples now, realize that that name is more than just a label. It meant something. It's why we give references of people that we trust and know, because we know that their name or their position means something. And when they put it in on paper and when they sign their name to it, they're saying that my word is good. This is a good person that we're recommending to you. In name. The name meant something. And so while they were calling out in the name of Jesus Christ, that name of Jesus of Nazareth meant something. It meant the authority of Jesus. It meant the authority of Jesus. And they were not doing these things on their own, but they were doing them through the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. The beggar asked for money. But through Christ, Peter gave him so much more. He gave him the use of his legs. Now, money may not be a small problem to you, but when you compare money to the ability to physically walk, it seems to me that it far outweighs money. And so something was given that was much more than the value of a dollar. Because out of the ability to walk, now he could work. Now he could do things that he couldn't do before. He didn't have to sit and beg anymore. He could get a job and he could help himself. The use of the legs was important. This, to me, talks about the difference between wants and needs. I might want more money, but God sees that I have another need and he gives me what I need instead of just what I want. Go ahead and ask God for those things that you want. But don't be surprised when he responds, either positively or negatively, to your interpretation and gives you what it is that you actually need. We all believe in this country that everyone deserves a chance in the United States. Everybody deserves a chance. And often, as Christians, of course, we believe that people deserve to be forgiven and that they have an opportunity to begin again and have a second chance. And so we see that played out here in Scripture. But I've always felt better when I would look at someone who was looking for help, that we could give a hand up rather than a hand out. There's a difference here. And what I see here with Peter is that he literally gave a hand up. If you notice in Scripture, in Luke, who writes the book of Acts, who's a physician, looks and he says he extended to him his right hand. He held his right hand. So we know here from this that Peter was most likely right-handed. Why? Because it was his dominant hand that he reached out to grab the man and he pulled him up. Because he said, "Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ and walk," the man couldn't move. He was beyond words, and so he needed a hand up. And Peter reached out his right hand and he helped him up. That's what we can do in the name of Jesus Christ. We can help give people a hand up and help them to walk and help them to see and help them to hear what God has in store for them. And Luke goes on to say about what happened in this lame beggar. He explains to them that his ankles were strengthened. So there was something wrong with the joints within his ankles, within his feet, and they were restored. They were restored at this moment. And so as that right hand, which is an important dominant hand, this healing flows through. The healing of Christ, the healing of the Spirit flows through that hand into this crippled beggar. And he rises up with the assistance of Peter. You've helped people up before, right? Someone who has difficulty with mobility, you've given them a hand up. You've helped them stand up. You've helped them to gain their balance or regain their balance. So Peter lifted this man up. It didn't take long for him to realize what was going on here. He began to walk. Took a step. Took another step. And another step. And he was walking. And then all of a sudden, he began to try out his new legs and he walked. He walked and he leapt. He was leaping around. And then he realized that there was something more yet to happen here, and he began to praise God. This must have been something to behold as he ran into the temple following Peter and John, and all the people gathered around to see what happened. Now, I have to tell you, this is a funny aside. This is how my mind works and where it went. But I flashed back to Forrest Gump as I was thinking about these legs. And do you remember Lieutenant Dan? Lieutenant Dan. I love Lieutenant Dan. He's a great actor in the movie Forrest Gump. And remember, his legs were blown off in the war. And he was rescued by Forrest, much to his disgust. He didn't want to be. He wanted to stay there and die with his men, but Forrest took him out. But his legs had to be taken off. They were blown off or amputated later on. And fast forward into the movie, after Lieutenant Dan has had his battle with God and all of that, and he's come to a point of forgiveness, he's invited to the wedding of Forrest and Jenny, who go together like peas and carrots. He's invited to the wedding, and Forrest is there with an assistant telling him it's about time for the wedding to begin. He's at long last going to marry Jenny. And off in the distance, who does he see but Lieutenant Dan? And Lieutenant Dan has a beautiful woman on his arm who happens to be his fiancée, Susan. And he starts to say, "Lieutenant Dan." And he looks out again, and Lieutenant Dan makes his way, walking as best as he can. And, "Lieutenant Dan, you've got legs." And he gets up to Forrest. And he says, "Yeah, Forrest," he said, "they're custom-made titanium, just like they put on the space shuttle." And Lieutenant Dan, amazed in wonderment of what's happened on, "You've got magic legs, Lieutenant Dan. Magic legs." Now, onto a much greater level and degree here, one must have looked and said, wow, you've got legs. You can move. You can dance. You can praise God. This is what was happening. And so the people were drawn to this, just as Forrest was drawn to his dear friend who he had saved many years later. And so the people began to run, and they gathered into this porch called Solomon's Colonnade, and they all were watching what was going on. And as this happened, more and more people came out around them. The scene got bigger and bigger. For Jewish observers, they must have no doubt thought back to the prophecy in Isaiah, which says, the lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak should sing and shout, Isaiah chapter 35, verse 6. This now formerly crippled beggar realizes where the praise belongs. You know, people do a lot of nice things for us. I've had people that have sacrificed for me through the years to help me to get to where I am today in my life, and I wouldn't be here, I kid you not, without them. You've sacrificed as parents and grandparents for your kids and your grandkids to help them to go to places maybe you haven't been able to go. Do things that they might not have been able to do without your assistance, your love, and your support. The crippled beggar, the formerly now crippled beggar, realizes where this came from, and he praises God. Yes, it's okay to thank people for what they have done, but realize where it truly came from. As that person has given to you, they've given to you, no doubt and hopefully, out of the love for God, to see your life changed and bettered. That's what happened here. We should reserve our praise for God and thank the people that helped. All of this put together represents a change. It represents a changed life. Imagine you have difficulty walking, and all of a sudden, you can walk again. You could never walk, and all of a sudden, you can walk. Imagine not being able to see, and then all of a sudden, be able to see again. There was an obvious change. Before, he had been lame, and now he is walking. What an amazing difference that took place. We may feel at times that, you know, the Lord hasn't touched us or healed us or brought us the physical relief from pain that we desire, or that of our loved ones. But God can change us in other ways besides physically. He can change us emotionally. He can change us psychologically. He can change us, of course, spiritually. There's a lot of internal changes that can take place that people do not see often on the outside. These changes continue to happen in us as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak in our hearts and our lives. And as these external healings or internal healings take place, others see it. And what the scriptures say, just as Lieutenant Dan and Forrest, they were amazed. These people were amazed at what they saw. And so when the Spirit of God has full reign within a congregation, when the Spirit of God is moving freely, not put aside by anyone or by rules or regulations, but when that Spirit of the Lord moves in a church, in a congregation, people are transformed. Transformed from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. And really, isn't that what it's all about? To be like Christ. That's why we're here. There may be emotionally troubled people that get counseling with love and prayers from people. There may be people that are sick physically with all kinds of diseases. But when there's a healing that takes place, when there's a change that is made in a life, the congregation and the community stand up because of that, and they take note. Whether it's through skilled medical professionals or whether it's through the power of prayer, the healing of those who claim his gifts of faith, healing, and working miracles are transformed. I want to ask you this morning as we close, as we prepare for communion today, How have you been changed? How have you opened your heart and your mind today to allow God's Holy Spirit to transform you from the self-centered person that you are to the Christ-centered person that He desires for you and for me and all of us to be? How is it that you can others see these changes in you? Because other people certainly gathered around the colonnade, Solomon's colonnade, that porch, and they saw what was taking place. Do people see these things in you? Do they notice there's a change in your heart? Is there something different going on in your life? And if there is, have you taken the time to thank someone who helped you get you there, but also rightfully returned your praise unto the Lord? Amen.